Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and admit it, you want to punch Richard Fuld in the nose, especially if you were watching C-SPAN yesterday, don't you? Now, we do not advocate physical violence on this show, but you could be forgiven a touch of schadenfreude after hearing the story that journalist Vicki Ward reported the other day. It seems that on the day Lehman Brothers went bankrupt, CEO Richard Fuld went to his gym, got on the treadmill, and another Lehman employee came along, socked him in the kisser, and knocked him out cold. Then journalist Ward told CNBC yesterday, frankly, after having watched Fuld's testimony before Congress, I'd have done the same too. So why would this mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan news organization want to do physical harm to a man being humiliated by members of the political class? Well, it was because of Richard Fuld moments like this with Congressman Henry Waxman doing the grilling.
It's just unimaginable to so many people. I would say to you the 500 number is not accurate. I would say to you that although it's still a large number, I think for the years that you're talking about here, I believe my cash compensation was close to $60 million, which you have indicated here. And I believe the amount that I took out of the company over and above that was, I believe, a little bit less than $250 million. Still a large number, though.
Still a large amount of money. You have a $14 million oceanfront home in Florida. You have a summer vacation home in Sun Valley, Idaho. Yet you and your wife have an art collection filled with million-dollar paintings. Your former president, Joe Gregory, used to travel to work in his own private helicopter. I guess people wonder, if you made all this money by taking risks with other people's money, you could have done other things.
Now, as I said, we don't advocate physical violence of any sort on this show. You know, you guys can get a good debate going about moose hunting. But here's a question that you can answer on our website. What should become of the $300 million that Richard Fuld took home from Lehman Brothers over the last 8 years? 212-4—this is for our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Post on our comments page and tell us, what should Richard Fuld do with some of that $250 million that he managed to get over the last 8 years from Lehman Brothers? I realize this is fantasy. I realize this is base. But I realize that you need it. Let's vent without punching Richard Fuld in the nose. Maybe there are worse villains out there in all this than him. Maybe he just did the best he could and he's only human after all. But there he is with $300 million of endowment to ease his guilt. What should become of that money? Should he keep $5 million of it and have the rest go to something? Debt reduction? You tell us. Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And with us now is Joe Nocera, New York Times business columnist and contributor to Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon. His A1 piece in the Times today, which is not a rating. That's where it's located in the paper. It's an exhaustive rundown and an exhausting rundown of just how quickly and poorly things have started to move. Hey, Joe, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Nice to be here.
And I will note that you said the Fuld thing should really be seen as a sideshow and not the main event, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm against excessive executive compensation as much as the next guy, but the issues here so transcend executive compensation. You know, should Lehman have been sacrificed to the gods for our safety, or was that a giant mistake by the government? Are there things Lehman could have done to prevent this? You know, how were their securities valued? You know, what mistakes did they make? You know, my God, we're in a crisis, and let's beat up Richard Fuld tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, and I noticed that Henry Greenberg, the former chairman and still the biggest shareholder in AIG, who was supposed to testify today, called in sick. Maybe he saw that Waxman Fuld exchange and decided he suddenly got a cold.
You know, this is what Wax. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm kind of not with you on this because if Waxman had some purpose beyond just venting and making himself feel good at the expense of these guys, I would say fine if he was trying to get to the bottom of something. But if I were Hank Greenberg, I would have done the same thing. There's really not a lot of upside here.
But here's the issue that I think goes beyond the venting that I think Waxman and some of the others were trying to get to. Tell me if you disagree. It's that the system allowed Fuld to distribute large, really large bonuses to others and take them himself, knowing that the company was starting to get into a great deal of trouble. That's why one of his own employees, if that report is right, came up and punched him in the nose. That's why shareholders, I know retired people who had a lot of their life savings in Lehman Preferred stock, thinking that that was almost as safe as an FDIC-insured bank account, and, now learning about the lack of transparency and that the public apparently was being told one thing by Lehman while the company officials were being told another about their financial situation.
Well, if that's true, and the real parallel here, Brian, that's worth talking about is Enron.
Yeah, exactly.
But the problem is it's not just Lehman. Bear Stearns did the same thing. Morgan Stanley only almost went under. Goldman Sachs was in trouble. Merrill Lynch had to sell itself to Bank of America as its only way out. I mean, it's not as if Lehman's the only firm
right.
that got into. There were systemic problems.
That's
here.
Exactly what I said. And it was so. What's the possible systemic response? Is there one?
I do think there needs to be some kind of coordinated response between our Federal Reserve and Asian and European central banks. I think there has to be a concerted central bank response. That's number one. Number two, we need to hope that this Paulson plan works. I mean, just, let's not talk pie in the sky for a minute. Let's talk practicality.
Right.
This is the thing that's on the table. And, boy, this thing better work. Number three, they really need to figure out some way to offer support to allow people whose mortgages are underwater to stay in their homes because, it's critical that home values stabilize because that's the root cause of the problem. And if we continue to have foreclosures and if mortgages continue to blow up, they will have the exact same ripple effect that has happened so far in subprime and now moving into regular prime mortgages.
So do you think that
it works its way up the chain is what happens.
So do you think the bailout bill contained too much trickle-down economics and not enough trickle-up?
No, I think the trickle down was fine. I think there should be more trickle up. In other words, I don't think there's too little trickle down. I do think there should be more trickle up.
I want to play a clip since you talked about the central banks coordinating, and there's some new news on that this morning. Let's see if I can get over to it in my wires. I'm sure you're ahead of me on this. It says the Federal Reserve announced today a radical plan to buy massive amounts of short-term debts in a dramatic effort to break through a credit clog that is imperiling the economy. The Federal Reserve will buy commercial paper, a short-term financing mechanism that many companies rely on to finance their day-to-day operations, such as purchasing supplies or making payrolls. So that's what the U.S. Fed is doing right now. And here's a clip of Senator Clinton from just earlier, where she seemed to call for a coordinated response around the Western world along these lines.
I do think that in the next days, if Europe and Asia work with us, which is imperative, you'll begin to see some stability reassert itself.
So, Joe Nocera, help me and help our listeners understand what that means.
Well, first of all, the commercial paper market has long been viewed as incredibly safe pieces of paper, almost as safe as treasury bills. And that's why they're in so many people's money market funds. When you have your money in a money market fund, it's not a savings account. You are investing in debt. And it's commercial debt that companies roll over every 60 or 90 days. And that's how they fund their cash. If that freezes, there's no commerce in this country. None. You cannot have the commercial paper market freeze. So what the Fed is basically saying is, if you're having trouble rolling over your commercial paper, we will be the lender. us, the federal government, instead of using an intermediary like a money market fund. It's really an extraordinary thing. So the federal government will be a direct lender to businesses to keep liquidity in the system.
Is that unprecedented in U.S. history?
I believe it is, actually. I believe it is. Certainly the government has guaranteed loans in the past, as it did with Chrysler. But I do not, I could be wrong, but I don't believe there has ever been a situation where the government has been a direct lender to big businesses like General Electric and Procter & Gamble in order to keep the commercial paper market going.
So, hearkening back to our previous conversation before you were on with Zachary Carabel, are we creating a new model of capitalism, socialism, capitalism, something new here by the U.S. government doing that?
I think there's a fair amount of exaggeration here. Look, we don't have what was the famous Depression era projects that put people to work.
The WPA.
The WPA. We don't have a WPA anymore. But in a time of emergency, we needed the WPA. We're in a financial emergency, and the government is the only backstop that can unfreeze these markets. And so it does not seem to me a step to socialism to have the government step in on an emergency basis, do what needs to be done to restore confidence, restore faith in the economy, restore lending in the economy, and then back away, and then instill a regulatory apparatus, just as they did after the Depression and after the crash of 29, a new regulatory apparatus that will function for the 21st century, just as the old regulatory apparatus really worked quite well until the last decade or so of the last century.
Right. And so how much money does the government have? I mean, another breaking news story this morning is that the FDIC chairman proposes increasing bank premiums in 2009 to replenish the deposit insurance fund. And I know in your article today, you quoted an unnamed hedge fund manager saying there's no liquidity anywhere. And you quote Wall Street historian Ron Chernow saying he's worried about the Fed's interventions tapping out the resources of the federal government. I mean, oh, my God.
Well, the federal government resources fundamentally cannot be tapped out ultimately because they can print money. Now, what is the danger of that? You and I both know what the danger is of that because we've seen it in our lifetime, inflation. So the real danger here is the Federal Reserve has literally hundreds of billions of dollars at its disposal. The problem comes if it has to start printing money to push money to push liquidity in the system, and then you risk a real potential for inflation to rear its ugly head, just as we had with the Vietnam War, where the old guns and butter inflationary cycle.
I think you found at least a reassuring word, somewhat reassuring word, with the federal government not running out of money, even if they have to print it, on which we can end for now. So,
this is one of the grimmest interviews I've ever given.
Well, it's one of the grimmest times. Joe Nocera, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.
New York Times business columnist, and you can hear him with Scott Simon on Weekend Edition Saturday. And more in a minute. We'll get practical here with Joan Goldwasser from Kiplinger's on what to do with your money now. Stay with us.